This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
That is West Durham. We got Chester Fuller. They're doing their deal. Captain Ron, Robert, boys are good. Good. Otto, he's back in the Christmas decoration room. Made sure he is hydrated. Getting ready for a tough 3 hours coming up because we got a lot of stuff going on.
Man, we got a ton today, don't we? Five basketball games tonight, by the way. Action last night in the ACC. We got an update on
call standings. That action last night. I call that woodshed last night.
Well, that was pretty
night.
Much that, a, that
was, there was action by one team last
that
night.
That was pretty much a road woodshed.
Miami looked good.
Yeah, they did.
Night.
Yeah,
they
Miami
were good
looked
and they're
great.
All whites. They took it on the road and said, hey, Pittsburgh, don't think so. We're playing for something.
Up 20 early.
Up 30 eventually. Woodshed last night in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no question about it. They shot 59% from the floor.
They look good.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, those guards, you get to March. I know March is next week. But, man, you give me good, old, experienced guards.
The old adage?
That has never gone out of style in college basketball. If you got really good, old, experienced, talented guards, you can cause a problem.
Right.
Miami can cause a problem.
There's no doubt. There's absolutely no doubt.
I mean, Wong really was kind of a non-factor last night, and it didn't matter. Didn't matter because Mr. Moore and Mr. McGusty, they rocked it.
Yeah.
They caused issues.
Older guys going down the stretch, too, right?
Yeah, that's it. And by the way, why are you dressed up today? What's going on with you? You overdressed for this show for sure.
I'm going to Winston-Salem after the show.
You're going to my town.
I am. Going to Winston-Salem. Meet with some folks up there on behalf of the National Sports Media Association.
Oh, so you are dressed up for a reason.
Yeah.
Going up there for this show.
Going up there to have lunch with some folks. And
where are you going?
Forsyth Country Club.
Forsyth Country Club. Well, I'll take the gray poupon, please, from Mr. Durham. The Forsyth Country Club.
Yeah. Be up there talking to some
folks.
They
give you the code to get in? That's
I
not just one
no
of those
idea.
Things
I think
somebody
I just
off the street
to,
can drive through
I
there.
I think I have to screen the ID at the door, and that'll be about right.
Well, let me tell you something. As a Winston-Salem native, nobody just rolls into the Forsyth Country Club.
No.
You are high. That's big time,
I'm just
time,
going up
man.
There to meet with some folks. And
I understand it. Now I understand the tie and the
there's
jacket.
There's no tie.
Oh, there will be.
No, there's no tie. Club. Come on now. We're in 2022, man. We had an open collar with a nice coat.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Socks.
Sure. Got socks on today. Yeah, you know it's a big day when there's socks, don't you? Yeah, okay,
when
look
Durham's
here.
Got
there's
socks on.
Right there, see?
It could be
Chrissy,
a job
can you
interview.
Show socks?
Hey,
I got
by the
socks
way,
on.
And there's Fuller after tearing up all the trash you brought in here.
I just brought in, I'm having a coffee, Ease Coffees, this morning. And I brought in a little container, and I threw it at Fuller, and next thing you know, it's disintegrated.
You know, the last time a co-host walked in here and threw something on the floor, it was Kelsey Riggs being a nice person, bringing tennis balls to Fuller, and he ate an entire tennis ball during the show.
And she was horrified.
I said, I can't believe it. Your first show on here, and you killed my dog.
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm glad you're big-timing it today.
Well, I'm just doing that to doing that on behalf of the NSMA, trying to help us as we move into the new year.
Who's us?
Well, I'm the new president of the organization.
The president of the, what's the name of the organization?
It's the one your dad got inducted in the Hall
I don't
of
know
Fame
about
with the pictures right there.
I didn't ask you what Billy's
National Sports Media Association.
National Sports Media Association. The president is here.
Well, I don't know about
club. I'm sorry, Mr. Durham. You can't park that piece of trash in our locker room area.
Yeah, the Honda Accord will look good going in there. We got great people on the board. It's an industry, National Sports Media Association, as you know, has been around for better than 60 years.
I don't know that.
Yes, you do. You've been to the banquet.
I've been to the banquet. Doesn't mean I know anything about the organization. I was forced to go to the banquet.
Dad went in the Hall of Fame.
That's why I was forced to be there. I had to induct him. I didn't want to go up there. I've never been a part of the Hall of Fame ceremony there, ever.
Except the night you were there.
Yeah, again, forced to be there. So, Mr. Durham. Do I call you Mr. Durham the rest of the show? Because
not.
You're going to Forsyth Country
Club.
You do
not. Club. No. You're fine. You're all good.
Man, I thought I had a big day. I got nothing on you, man.
Well,
are you
leaving today? Are we going somewhere out of the house?
I'm leaving the house.
Okay, good. There we go.
I have a class to teach.
Oh, that's right. You're going over to Queens guest
College.
Lecture.
Principles of Marketing.
That's it.
24 students, juniors and seniors. Have to wear a mask. Got to wear a mask over there at Queens College.
So
let me tell you how marketing works.
This is not your first appearance in front of the School of Business at Queens.
That is right. The School of Business. I have taught adjunct classes lecturer. There before. I have done that before.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not. Now, I may have, like you, my name on a spot to park. Like, Pack, you're allowed to park here from 11:45 to 1 and then get the Ford F-150 out of here.
As I recall, the last time you went there, they had a reserve parking.
They had my name on a sign up there. And it was spelled right.
Okay.
It's not for South Country Club.
How about that?
I'm not going to wear socks, though. No, it's a no sock appearance for me.
Okay.
But you, I'm impressed, man. For South Country Club.
Well, I'm just going up there to...
You taking the sticks?
No.
Why not?
I don't have time for that.
Oh, I don't have time for that. Why not?
Well, I mean, we got things to do this afternoon. We got a show tomorrow. I'm leaving town
Friday.
I'll
have another
Friday.
Shrimp cocktail, please.
No, I don't think so. I'm leaving after the show Friday to go to Boston to winter weather.
Oh, it's Friday. Today's a Wednesday. You got all day. It's 75 degrees today.
Got all sorts of things going
on.
You
got nothing. Go play golf. Please.
I'd love to, but not today.
Please. All right.
Jay Billis to join us at 8 o'clock this morning.
Bet you Billis has played for South Country Club.
I bet he has, too.
That's a big-time joint now.
Jay gets a lot of traction.
That's not one of those goat ranches. Everybody come in off the – bring your packs, Ford F-150. Your clubs are in the back of the bed.
Right.
This is a real golf course.
It's a real
there.
Golf course.
Yes, sir.
That and Old Town.
Old Town.
Old Town's nice now.
That's nice, too.
That's a real –
That's how you roll, man. I like it. I like it when you go.
You know me, I love to play.
I like it when you go top shelf on me.
But I also, you know, get out with the boys at the Crew Cab Country Club and go where we need to go on Saturday and Sunday.
Don't lower your standards anymore. You're going for
those guys. Country. Those are my guys.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
All right. Josh Burrell will be here at 8:30. Marissa Young, head coach of ACC, defending ACC champion.
Defenders.
Duke will be here at 8:45. And Deja Kelly of North Carolina, one of the great shooting stars of the ACC.
Who is that?
And women's basketball will be here at 9:15. Miami did roll last night at the Pete. It was Rock the Royal last night at the Peterson Event Center.
The Royal got rocked.
The Royal lost by 21 and trailed his pack set by as many as 30. I got a question for you. And I know you don't vote.
I don't vote.
I know. But
that's just for Forsyth Country Club
members.
No,
I'm not a member. Thank you.
You will be this afternoon.
All right. So how do you project the first team in the All-ACC?
I don't.
Come on.
I don't. I don't project it at all. I don't. Seriously, that is right down your alley. That's exactly why I don't vote.
Watching the game last night, you started thinking to yourself, okay, well, I can put this guy and this guy and this guy. And now you realize that if you're going to name the five-man first-team All-ACC, they're going to be somebody who might deserve some serious first-team consideration and end up on second team. And to be honest with you, the second team, I think, is also going to be really good. And the reason I bring it up is what you started the show with. You got three guys at Miami, McGusty, Wong, and Charlie Moore. Look, I think Alondis Williams and Paolo Banchero are absolute locks for the first team.
Agreed.
Okay. But beyond that, it becomes a bit of a fist fight for the other three on the first and then the five on the second.
Yeah.
Because you've got Notre Dame in a situation where Blake Wesley, Dane Goodwin, how do the votes work there? A
lot of balance at Notre Dame.
Armando Bacot, who has been a double-double machine.
Guaranteed.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
So now, how does it work itself out? Remember we had that Darion Sebron conversation at one point?
No.
Obviously, he's fallen off a little bit.
He's not the
You start looking at, okay, what about Virginia?
No.
You don't see anybody from Virginia?
No.
Okay. So once you start, that's what I mean. You got three guys that you feel pretty good about first team, and now you got to start thinking, well, Charlie Moore, Cam McGusty, Isaiah Wong at Miami, they've had a great year. It's really an interesting conversation that we're going to have next week headed to the final week of the regular season.
Glad I don't vote.
Why you don't vote, isn't it?
It's exactly why I don't vote. I mean, I don't need that aggravation.
And we had the coach of the year. I mean, Steve Forbes, Jim Larranaga. Right?
Mike Bray? Why is Mike Bray not in the game?
Yeah, I mean,
he'd be
exactly.
Number one seed for all we know.
Yeah, and then Coach K going out the door at 13-3.
K's not getting a vote. K's not the coach of the year.
Okay.
I mean, no, I mean,
I'm just saying there's some people bring up sentimental, you know, last ride type deal.
Well, what are we voting for?
Coach of the year.
The best coach of
Forbes,
last
Mike
year,
Bray,
I'd
Jindler,
say
Mike and Krzyzewski. Okay.
I mean, what are we voting for? I mean, we were talking about Jim Larinaga and Steve Forbes by the media, right? All you folks that vote. I don't, but all you folks that vote.
Right.
Had Miami and Wake Forest 12th and 13th, respectively.
That's fair, yeah.
Before the season started.
And Notre Dame was somewhere in the middle.
Notre Dame was like, what, 8, 9, 6, 5? I don't know what they were, but I know that Miami and Wake were 12 and 13.
Right.
And here we are talking about Miami and Wake possibly getting double byes.
Notre Dame was 8th.
8, that's like I said, 8 or 9. They're in the neighborhood. So, I mean, all three of those three guys, to me, that's the conversation.
I agree.
It's Mike Bray, it's Jim Larinaga, and it's Steve Forbes. And you can make a great case for all three of them, but I would say you shouldn't vote till we're done with the regular season.
Oh, there's no question. Absolutely.
Because you may just sit there and go, oh, it's got to be Forbes. It's got to be Larinaga. Well, what happens if Notre Dame ends up as the number one seed?
Correct.
And let me tell you something. Virginia and Duke go tonight, which we're going to talk about. Those games have been phenomenal. Virginia's already beaten them once at Cameron.
Yep.
Virginia wins tonight. All of a sudden, of course, Notre Dame's got to take care of red hot Syracuse. We still got a lot of basketball to be played, man. I'm just saying. It's too early for the votes.
By the way, big night for Jim Larinaga. Not only did the Canes pick up another important win, they've now won 20 in 7 of 11 years. And you see the four seasons here. I mean, he's just done a phenomenal, phenomenal job in Coral Gables. And you see 29 wins in the championship year at 13. 27 and 16, 21, 17, 22, 18. And after three tough seasons, has come back this year. And, you know, and we fell for him a year ago and certainly 2 years ago. They were right there on the cusp.
Well, for the last 2 years, they've been so banged up. I remember before we started this season, I said, I just want Miami to get through a year healthy. They went through back-to-back years. Well, they just didn't have a lineup because everybody was hurt. And this year, again, they had a little injury bug early. But like I said, he's done a brilliant job with these guards. And you've got six-year guys who can really play. And that's what you got with Charlie and McGusty.
Yeah.
Man, a lot. That caused a problem. They just turn you over, and they did last night. They created 20 turnovers last night on Pitt for 30 points. And you think, wow, that's a great night. They do that every night. They are a real problem.
The win last night was his 220th with the Canes, by the way. Ties Bruce Hale as the all-time wins leader.
Not
in
sure
basketball.
I could pick Bruce Hale out of a lineup. Got to tell you. Could you do that? If I gave you five pictures, could you pick out Bruce Hale?
I'm not sure I could either. I know the name, though, because he is tied to Miami basketball during the Rick Barry era.
If you gave me five photos, I would have no idea who Bruce Hale is.
Very good coach, by the way.
Apparently.
So, here's Miami's remaining schedule, by the way. I'm going to look at this.
I told you. Now, wait a minute. Do you remember were you listening when I told you I think this group can win out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just saying.
Which would make them.
Well, it's a shame they're an underdog at home this week. Hello.
15 and 5.
Hello, BPI. Anybody awake? Just asking.
They're 15-5 if they win out. And if they win out, based on what happens with, I mean, Miami could go as high as 2. Who knows? Maybe 1. They have a tiebreaker with Duke.
So let me tell you how I look at BPI, because you know I can't stand it. you're telling me that if Virginia Tech was to play Miami 10 times at Miami,
4.7 times Miami would win.
I would take that bet every day of the week. They would win more than 4.7 of them.
Maybe you should get into the wagering side.
I mean, how many times do I have to point out BPI? And all of a sudden, you know, the suits up there are like, oh, don't bring that back up. I'm going to bring it up because the BPI thing has no idea what they're talking about.
Well, there you have it.
You think Miami would only beat Syracuse 2 times out of 10 on the road this year?
No.
I don't. That's all you got?
That's all I got. I mean,
well, you saving it for Forsyth Country Club?
No, your position on BPI has been well stated. I don't agree with the 47% on Virginia Tech. I mean, I think that's ridiculous too. Miami's a lot better than it. I have no idea what.
Didn't Miami win at Virginia Tech? Didn't
Charlie Moore half court shot? Well, half court.
45 feet,
something like that. Yeah,
just asking.
I mean, it's just, I don't know how they get to the number.
It's what I've been saying for 3 years on this show. I don't have any idea.
Right.
They just throw darts, you think? What do you think? Roll dice?
I don't know. I would guess they come up with some logarithm, an analytic, and they punch a number, and there it is.
Mr. Durham, would you like to...
I got a question. What time is the speech today at Queens?
11:50. 11:50 to 1 is my class. 11:50 to 1.
Can we stream that on the ESPN app?
I have no earthly idea. No idea.
Is the public welcome, or is this a...
It's a class, dude. I don't know. It's, I mean, whoever shows up...
I got to wear a mask. Just classy.
You got to wear a mask on Queens College.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's what you got going on. Okay. So it's a busy day. We got this
Professor
show.
Packer.
Yeah, I like doing it.
I know you do.
I love...
This is what you're going to do when you shut it down, isn't it? Come in from the wilderness and teach.
Yeah. I'm going to buy a piece of... Here's what I'm going to do for my... When I finally say I've had enough of this nonsense.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to buy a piece of... I've already told Mrs. P. I'm going to buy a piece of property. Yep. I don't know where it's going to be yet.
Okay.
And I'm going to have some land, and I'm going to charge $20 for the locals to bring their dogs, and then drop them off at my house, and I'm going to let them run. $20 for the day. I'll give them water, some morsels. That's going to be my retirement.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Miami, a big winner last night. They go to 12-5, tying North Carolina in the standings on that perspective. But, Wes, tonight we got five, as you've mentioned. But, man, the headliner is in Charlottesville, Duke and Virginia.
And amazing what these games have become, quite frankly. Yeah. For all the talk about Duke, Carolina, and sometimes other rivalries with the University of Virginia, Duke and Virginia have kind of become here in the last few years kind of a thing unto themselves, haven't they?
No question.
Yeah, and
you want tight games, you want drama, you want crazy shots. It gives it to you literally every single time.
Look at this.
It's crazy.
This is not nuts. I mean, how about a close one? You got six of the last eight? Holy smokes. And it doesn't matter where it's played, by the way. That 18-19 thing, that was the Zion block shot out of the corner on DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah.
That ball game ended up sideways. Then Duke, a two-point win. Remember, the two-point win came in Durham. The rematch was in Charlottesville. And we'll keep an eye on this one tonight at 7 o'clock. Virginia's not defeated Duke in back-to-back games since winning four straight during the 94-96 era, better known in Charlottesville as the Norman Nolan era. if you want to look for a close game tonight, we'll see if it happens. All the trimmings are there, though. Virginia playing a lot better pack, coming off a terrific win at Miami. It's going to be interesting tonight, I think, in Charlottesville.
This is the night for the Hoos, I think. You start talking about the NCAA tournament, Wes. They're in the 80s in the net. It's a quad one special.
Mm-hmm.
They've beaten these guys once. And if they could beat them twice, that's pretty sweet on the resume, in addition to a sweep of Miami. You mentioned the Hoos are playing good basketball, and Duke knows what's at stake, too. They're trying to win this ACC regular season outright for the first time since 2005-06.
Right.
The schedule's in front of them. They're going to be favored in every time they play. But this is going to be a raucous crowd. I mean, they will be ready to roll tonight in Charlottesville. But it just feels like, hey, Virginia, you know what? You got the big one against Miami, kind of set the scene for tonight. This is your time.
Yeah.
Tag, you're it.
Now, the Blue Devils are playing for something of their own, too, because Duke is trying to win the regular season outright for the first time.
Didn't I just say that?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
The interesting part is that goes all the way back to when John Shire was in high school.
All right.
So here's one of the little rubs on this, though. You see Virginia won the last matchup 69-68. Well, 69 points is an interesting number. Now, if you follow Titus and Tate, they own the race to 69. That's kind of their thing that they talk about.
This is such an incredible stat.
Right.
Let me just preface this. This is a bar bet to the max, mm-hmm. but Wes is about ready to take this. I didn't even know of this until yesterday.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Yeah. Teams that score 69 points first in a game win 93.7% of the time. Here are the best and worst records among high majors since 2009 in the race to 69 points. Virginia is number one.
I didn't know this stat existed. And when the smart people in Bristol brought this to my attention yesterday, I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Virginia is 141 and one.
Yeah.
Since 2009, all right? Yeah. 141 and one. The one I know you're thinking, all right, what was the one? Well, it was against Louisville 2 years ago. February the 8th.
Yeah.
I mean, that is an incredible stat.
I mean, you start thinking about this, that little abstract number, you're thinking, wait a second, how is it? What?
Well, where did that come from?
EvanMaya.com cobbles all this stuff together. To put things in perspective, Syracuse is one of five teams that has lost more than once this year after winning the race to 69. Memphis, Nebraska, Georgia, who's been brutal this year in basketball.
They still have a program?
They do. And Marquette is the other teams. One of five that have lost multiple games after winning the race to 69.
Kind of surprised Marquette's on that list. But nevertheless, it's one of those crazy stats. But the Virginia number, that is mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. 141 and one.
Right.
But you know what this is tonight, though? I mean, Virginia's going to try to get this thing ugly. And let's just play a tight game. That's what they do. They do it as well as anybody in the country.
Yeah.
And have been for a long time, and they win a bunch of them, obviously. But, you just can almost feel the anticipation out of Charlottesville for this game, right? You just know what's at stake if you win it. Remember last week how hot Tony Bennett was against Virginia Tech? Yeah, I know it's an in-state rivalry in the Commonwealth, but you just knew the importance of the game as far as the resume, the standings, and everything else. We'll multiply that times whatever you want tonight with Duke coming to town.
We ought to get Tate Frazier on the show. He's ACC, Carolina guy.
Was that right?
He's a Carolina fan, yeah.
I didn't know anything about
him. Yeah, Tate, it's a really good podcast.
That's cool.
We should get Tate on. He'd be fun. Plus, they open the podcast with Dad's caller Chris Webber calling a timeout every time.
Is that right?
Yeah. And the lead in is, and now Woody Durham. And there's the cut.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So we ought to have him on. He'd be fun. And they do great work. So does Danny Neckel, who has sent us social media stuff before. Look at this about Virginia and Duke. Now, Danny, he's a Virginia guy, but
it's all right.
When you put stuff like this together, it's worth everybody seeing. Past 10 years, Virginia's 5-3 against a top-ranked Duke team. Everyone else is 49-211. Every other ACC team is 31-91. See, and we talk about Tony Bennett in that line with Roy, Kay,
well, you should.
Boeheim. Yeah, sure, he won national championships, been incredibly successful at Charlottesville.
Consistent.
There you go. And that's the reason you talk about Tony Bennett. And I think sometimes, because he's not a blazing personality to the front page of the newspaper, there's not a lot of stuff that happens where Tony Bennett draws attention to himself. All he does is go out, win, and bake chocolate chip cookies.
And, well, he wins the right way, and he's a perfect fit for the institution. I mean, everything about him, the way he looks, the way he talks, the way he dresses, he's class personified, great coach. Mm-hmm. He's got a system. But the consistency of Virginia basketball is a thing that jumps off the page.
Right.
You start going through the numbers, and we've dropped some hints here the last couple of weeks with numbers in terms of 10 or more wins in conference play.
Absolutely.
How many times you win 5 or more on the road each and every year. I mean, that's called building a big-time program, and that's exactly what you got at Virginia.
Other ball game to focus on are the five on the slate tonight. Virginia Tech is in Atlanta to see Georgia Tech. They beat the Jackets 81-66 earlier this year at Castle Coliseum. I would tell you this. If the Hokies shoot the ball well over the top of Pastner's amoeba zone, they will be in good shape. Georgia Tech played well at Pitt. Played well at Syracuse the other night. Couldn't close. Had great looks at the end of regulation for sure. But the Hokies need to go find the shooting stroke. They lost it on Saturday at home against Carolina.
What do we know the BPI for that game? We know the BPI thinks Virginia Tech is going to beat Miami on Saturday. So what's the BPI for that? Do we know that? I'm making notes again.
79%.
79. Jackets are loving the sound of that right now. Josh Pastner just is having us high-fiving the staff when he sees that number. 79%. All right, got it. Noted.
You're going to report back on that one tomorrow.
Well, I mean, listen, I think anybody who's watched ACC Hoops this year would tell you, you know, new tech, old tech, sure, going after each other tonight. Virginia Tech is a better basketball team than Georgia Tech and should be favored to win.
Right.
I would agree with that.
There you go.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, don't forget tomorrow night now, following women's basketball, we got nothing but net for you. I think Kelsey Riggs will be back from the left coast with Kelly Gramlich, Muffet McGraw, Chelsea Gray in tow. Chronicle the night on the ladies' side. And then Saturday night, following another full day of ACC basketball, Kelsey's back with Luke Hancock, Carlos Boozer, and Joel Berry. Nothing but net. Signature basketball show right here on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network. And Pack, as you know, streaming live on the ESPN app.
Everything is.
Yeah.
Never misses a beat. Ever.
All there.
All right, we got other games tonight. It's not just Duke, Virginia, my man.
No.
It's not Nor just the Hokies.
And Jackets.
79% favorite against the Jackets.
It's Boston College in Raleigh.
God, you'd have thought we had seen that game before, but we haven't.
We have. We've seen BC lose 9 straight in the capital city.
Yeah, we've also seen NC State not be very good at home, so something's got to give tonight. Something has to give. Tell you what now, BC's going to play hard, right? As Florida State, I mean, they pummeled Florida State this week. So Wolfpack Nation, hey, pretty good run over the weekend. Wrestlers rocking it.
Yeah.
Women hoopsters rocking it.
Swimmers.
Swimmer and divers rocking it. Time for the men's basketball program to show something tonight.
Perhaps. Might want
to
get on the perimeter. Might want to get on the perimeter and guard the three. Mekhi Ashton Langford, DeMar Langford, they're powering the Eagles at this point for Earl Grant. Here's the one thing you know. I don't know what kind of basketball game it'll be artistically tonight, but these two play hard. Both of them play hard. Earl Grant's team does, and so does Kevin Keats' squad. It has been since January of 2007, since Boston College has won in Raleigh. Now, they had a crack in the door a couple of years ago, and I think Maverick Rowan stole their hearts at the buzzer for NC State.
So we got all the three
first-timers.
Women, the three bottom feeders,
mm-hmm,
who are all 4-12 or something like that in the standings, are all at home tonight.
Yeah, Clemson, NC State, and Georgia Tech.
What do you think? They all three win?
I think one of them does.
Yeah, I don't think all three will.
I think one will win. So BC's trying to win for the first time.
Who you think it is?
Not yet. BC's going to win for the first. BC's going to try and win for the first time in 15 years tonight in Raleigh. Syracuse is at Notre Dame. Now
it's an important game too. Now Virginia's got a big night. Syracuse has a big night. I mean, they're both in the 80s in the net.
And every night is big for Notre Dame, isn't it?
Notre Dame's got to keep winning, man.
Right.
Everybody just assumes, oh, man, they've got a chance to be the number one seed in the ACC. They're locked. No, they're not locked.
One check of the standings will show you how big this is for Notre Dame. You notice now the game is on ESPN News tonight at 7 o'clock. 69% chance to win for the Irish tonight against the Orange. Syracuse has won 3 of the last 4, including the last 2 in South Bend. Irish need to get the trio going. They need to get a combination of any of the three going tonight. Hub, Goodwin, Leshesky, Wesley. They got to get 3 of those 4 going. Atkinson's been steady. He's done a really nice job here in the last 3 weeks for sure. Beheim 19-9 against Notre Dame and Mike Bray.
69%, huh?
That's BPI. What it says. How are you feeling about that tonight there, Professor?
I tell you, the way the Cuse is playing, they're playing good basketball. But I tell you what, this is a brutal stretch for the Orange.
Right.
I mean, brutal.
Because last time I checked, they played Duke Saturday.
They played Duke Saturday and at North Carolina Monday.
Ooh.
Strap it on tight.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's going to be quite a ride. Now, this is go time for Syracuse. So, Syracuse and Virginia seem to have a lot of pressure on them tonight because you've got golden opportunities to pad the resume.
Mm-hmm.
And Notre Dame, too. I mean, they got a chance to be the number one seed. Still, it's not crazy to think that they can be one going into Greensboro.
They probably need Duke to lose twice.
Well, they're going to need Duke to lose multiple times without question. But Duke at Virginia tonight is no guaranteed lock.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
And then the Blue Devils at the Orange.
And Duke Carolina.
How many people, by the way, are they expecting for the Syracuse game on Saturday night? That's usually Duke Syracuse is normally a 30. That's a 30 burger in there.
I tell you what, given the relationship between Coach K and Jim Boeheim, the last go around at Syracuse, and especially if the Cuse wins tonight, playing good basketball, that'd be 30,000 plus, be my guess.
Well, see the last go around for Coach K up there. I wonder who'd be sitting by the bench on Saturday night.
Josh Macri told Pete Davidson, "Hey, big man, get out of here. Sit down and laugh. Sorry, big boy.
Voice of victory. Seat. Voice of victory's coming in to
see my act, true or false, bark or bite,
that's
up
it.
Or down, in
or
out.
Under.
Yeah, you take that Saturday Night Live and just get that thing out of here.
Pete, you don't even really like Syracuse.
Yeah, you and Kim, catch you later.
That's it.
Voice of victory's in town.
All right, last one that we haven't seen this year. Wake Forest and Clemson. This is the old Jefferson Pilot Raycom 12 noon game, isn't it? The old Deeks and Tigers at Little John.
Teams appear to be heading in complete opposite directions.
Real question tonight for Clemson. What is the status of P.J. Hall?
Yeah, he got to play.
No P.J. Hall. Hunter Tyson still on the mend. That is a lot of pressure on the Tiger perimeter. A lot of pressure on Alamir Dawes, Alex Hemingway, Nick Honor, Chase Hunter.
You see that on the screen there?
52.6 is what BPI says.
52% chance for Wake to beat Clemson tonight. 52. So you're telling me Wake goes to play in Little John 10 times. It's a split, basically.
Wake is 2-13 in their last 15 visits
to
Little John Coliseum.
None of that will matter. Different teams.
Different years for sure.
Different everything.
Okay. Sometimes it gets crazy, though. You know that in this league. You can't explain sometimes.
Has Wake been good on the road? They have a problem at Virginia?
No, sir.
Huh?
Had a problem at Louisville. They had a problem at Miami.
Get that. Push Duke to
the
limit.
Had a problem at Syracuse.
They were not good at Syracuse. Deke's been all right on the road, though.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson's got – the Tigers have been a train wreck for the month of February.
It's not been good.
Train wreck.
Yeah.
They're beat up, they're banged up, and they haven't won a game in a long, long time since they beat Florida State. Seems like a month ago.
Yeah.
They need PJ in the lineup tonight. They're going to pull that off.
I do not know. I think that is a true game-time decision tonight.
Yeah. I don't know how they can beat Wake without PJ Hall. Be my guess.
P.J. Hall's had a really nice year, by the
terrific
way.
Terrific year.
Most improved candidate for sure, I think, in the ACC.
Terrific year. And a good guy. Obviously, he was on the show the other day. He was tremendous.
Yeah.
Jump starting a
writer's car. I mean, come on.
After games with a boot on.
Yeah.
Class act.
Do you want to review the BPI real quick for tonight?
I wrote them down.
Okay, good.
So I got Wake at 52%. Yeah. I got NC State at 74%. I got Virginia Tech at 79%. Notre Dame at 69%. And I didn't see the Duke Virginia number. They can scream in my ear. Do we know what the BPI is for Duke, Virginia?
Ooh.
Surely we do.
Duke at 74.8.
Oh, is that right? Duke at 70. I tell you what, Tony Bennett is like, the team we've already beaten once, we only have a 26% chance to beat them at home?
Let me just bring you all in to tomorrow's show.
74% for Duke.
If any of this goes counter to the BPI, get ready.
I will rip it.
Get
like Fuller just, ripped your display this
yeah,
morning.
Just get ready. Just if any of this goes counter to the BPI.
Now listen, I want to be completely transparent and honest. I would tell you that I would say Duke would be favored, right?
Sure, yes. Sure,
that's not a crazy reach. I would say Notre Dame at home should be favored against Syracuse.
That's right.
I would say Virginia Tech is better than Georgia Tech. And should be favored.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Wake Forest should be favored against Clemson. They're a better team, especially given the Tigers' ills. And NC State at home should beat Boston College. Common sense would tell you that those are accurate statements, right? But I guarantee you, something in what I just rattled off will not happen tonight.
There you go.
Right? Just feels that way.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
College baseball is underway, and our coverage starts on Friday night, 6 o'clock. Number 9 NC State meets Quinnipiac. Ah, the boys from up there near Bristol come rolling in to Doak Field at Dale Park. 6 o'clock start right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. We'll have to check with Billis here in a few minutes what time BMOC is supposed to start. I think Ballmen on Campus is scheduled to go at 9, Pac. That's college baseball. There's no way that Ballmen on Campus here is at 9, is there?
Well, not the way NC State's scoring runs. They scored 18 yesterday, and our man Tommy White, no homers yesterday. I looked it up. No home runs for Tommy White yesterday. Pac put 18 on the board. By the way, the Deeks put a 23 spot on the board yesterday eight home runs. And just to balance out all that offense, the Clemson pitching staff yesterday, 17 Ks in a win against College of Charleston. Just give me a little baseball update there. Some highlights.
Chad Holbrook coaching the College of Charleston, losing to Monty Lee's boys, huh?
17 Ks. So we give you some offense. We give you a little pitching yesterday. Baseball is good to go, and thank God for that.
Yep. Good to have baseball in college, right?
Love it. Because the millionaires and the billionaires can't figure out a way to get together.
A long time before they get to baseball, I think.
Makes me sick.
All right. Phil Ford joined us yesterday on the heels, pardon the pun, of episode 5 and 6 of the tournament documentary here on ACC Network. And we start our visit with Phil by saying, hey, what are the similarities today to when that young man from Rocky Mount won the Case Awards, the MVP, back in 1975?
My first year in the ACC, two teams could go to the NCAA tournament. Previously to that, you know, you had to win the tournament to go. So it wasn't that pressure of actually having to actually win the tournament to go to the NCAA, but... You know, you're talking about the granddaddy of all basketball tournaments in the country, collegiate basketball tournaments. And, you know, to be a winner of that, you know, that goes a long way. You know, you never forget that. I don't think it's lost any of its luster. I think teams really still want to win the ACC tournament. That's a nice line on your resume, ACC basketball tournament winner.
I always love to interview former North Carolina players that played under Coach Smith, because the answers are always different. And I know this is going to be a broad-based question, but do the best you can with it. What did you learn the most from playing with Coach Smith?
Well, I mean loyalty and humility, you know, I think is very important in Coach Smith's life. The older I get, the more spiritual I am. Spirituality was a big part of his life. But playing together, nobody's more important than anybody else. You know, the guys that don't play a lot, you know, just important that the guys that do play a lot. It's just so many things that not on the basketball court that he taught us, but on the basketball court, you know, he taught us to always do the best that we possibly could. And we believe that if we did what he told us to do, we would win. We actually believe that. And, you know, he said when we lost, it was his fault. And when we won, it was because of us. But we kind of felt that if we lost, we just didn't do what he told us to do.
You grew up at a time, and it was chronicled a little bit last night. You grew up at a time where television became one of the driving forces, Phil, behind ACC basketball. Jim Thacker, Mark's dad, Bones McKinney. I mean, games were on television all the time. They were constantly on radio. There weren't pro sports really in the ACC footprint except in Washington. Georgia Tech had yet to enter the league. Did you feel like it was the top step of, like, everything going on in day-to-day life? And how difficult was that? I think people forget now it's commonplace so much television that in that era, there wasn't a lot of – there. This was what basketball was. Everybody, when you saw basketball on TV, it was this, right?
Well, you know, at the tournament, you have people telling you about at work or at school with transistor radios. You know, you have teachers pulling in televisions in classes to watch the tournament, you know. Each school kind of like had a hotel, and the maids cleaning up the rooms had stickers of that school on their carts. So it was a big deal. And I said, as I said before, I think it's the grandfather of all conference tournaments. And to win the ACC tournament is a really big deal. And I think teams really still try their best to win that tournament.
But when you go to an ACC tournament, especially if it's in Charlotte or Greensboro, whatever the case may be, I mean, how much time do you have to give yourself leading into a game knowing that you get, I'm going to kiss babies, take pictures, write autographs? I mean, I got to imagine you've got to schedule your appearances in an ACC tournament as a fan a little differently than somebody else would.
Man, not anymore. You know, I'm the old guy. You know, it's funny. I was having breakfast with my daughter and a couple other friends this summer, and a young kid walked by me and had my jersey on. And my daughter looked at me and said, "Dad, I don't think he knows who you are." Well, his dad knew, and his dad sent him over to the table for me to sign it. But I'm just the old guy right now, man. He said, "Who's the old dude that can hardly walk now?"
Oh, I know better than that. Man, it's Phil Ford we're talking about.
We have talked so much about the eras of this league. And you readily admit you grew up David Thompson, right? Charlie Scott impacted your life. Right. What does it mean to you to hear that guys that played in the 90s, I mean, guys you coached at Carolina, and then guys who have continued on, to understand the legacy, the generational legacy of this league? What does that mean to somebody like yourself who's part of that?
Well, it's an honor. It's an honor for me to have played at the University of North Carolina. It's an honor for me to have played in the ACC. I started following Carolina basketball around the sixth or seventh grade, you know, with Charlie and Eddie Fogler and Dr. Clark and Dick Grubar and those guys. And for me to have an opportunity to go to that school and play at that school and play in the league, you know, it's a great honor. And if there by some chance that, you know, guys would remember, you know, the things that we did when I was a player in North Carolina, it's a great honor. I mean, this league speaks for itself. You know, nobody has to pump this league up. You know, it's been so many great players, so many great teams, so many great schools involved. It's just the best conference in the country year in and year out, I think.
Well, I've said this to you before, but I was a big NC State fan growing up.
I know how you felt about me that night in 1975. I'm not going to forget that, man.
I know. And I watched that last night, and I remember I know exactly where I was at the Greensboro Coliseum. And as soon as I saw Dean Smith stand up and do this, I was like, man, I was about ready to scream. And I said, nobody can guard 12, man. We can't guard 12. And I watched that again last night. And a smile came across my face because I knew you were going to be on today.
And as you guys know, Coach McClendon invented it. But, you know, Coach Smith kind of perfected it, and we used it. And, you know, it was within the rules. As Coach Smith always said, you know the rules of golf. That'll save you a couple strokes every round.
How good is that?
He's great to talk to, man.
Yep, always fun. We appreciate his time. 844-SAY-ACC and Leonard in North Carolina before we get to the top of the hour. Leonard, good morning.
Good morning, Wes and Peck. How you doing?
We're great.
Excellent.
I got you 5 ACC tournament games, and I've followed this thing since Billy was at Wake Forest. Can you believe that?
Ooh, early 60s.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to count these down for you. Number 5.
Okay. Sure. Okay.
The Randolph Children game, 1995.
All right.
Number 4, the 1982 game. And I put that in there because of all the change that happened after that game was played.
All right.
The number 3, the 1969 game. That was Charlie Scott's coming out party.
That's right.
He had that big game against Duke that night.
Yeah,
never will
points,
forget
right.
that one.
Yep.
Number 2 is Phil Ford's first game in the game against NC 1975.
Mm-hmm.
And number 1 is the one that everybody's always said was the greatest game that ever been played in the ACC tournament, the NC State Maryland. 1974.
Yeah. All right.
So you got nothing in the century, right? This
yeah, you
century,
got nothing.
You got
nothing past 2000, right?
Nothing past 2000.
Okay.
And hey, keep in mind, I lived a lot of those years when you were down in Atlanta doing tech.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that Zion in 2019 going 13 of 13 from the floor, that didn't move the needle for you at all, huh?
No, that one didn't move the needle at all.
All right.
Actually, the honorable mention game that I had, and I almost put it in there, was the 76 game, the Wally Walker game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was great, too. It was good to have Wally on yesterday. He was great.
Yeah.
So, okay. Thank you, Leonard. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Thanks for watching. We're getting some folks. They're catching the fever a little bit with the doc, aren't they?
The documentary is so fantastic. I mean, it really, John Dahl and his staff, I mean, I can't wait. Again, you get the advanced copy. I hadn't seen him yet. But every Monday, I'm telling you, 9 o'clock, yeah. ACC Network, it's must-watch television. Yeah. It's that good.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun the last 2 weeks, especially to kind of get it into the 70s and 80s. And 7 and 8, by the way, debut on Monday night, 9 o'clock, following Carolina Syracuse.
John Dahl will be at First North Country Club with you guys
No.
tonight?
No, huh. He's not there.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.